All right, welcome, folks, to the featured interview for this evening. I have joining me Robert Griswold. He's the founder and CEO of ReadyMadeResources.com, and he's lived a life of incredible adventure and also knowledge and gaining information in many theaters around the world in many different contexts, some of which we can't talk about. So, Bob Griswold, I really honor your work. Thank you for all that you do. And also, I love your readymaderesources.com for night vision equipment, by the way. I'll just put that plug out there. But thank you for joining me.
Mike, it's a pleasure to be here. You know, we fellowship so much offline. It's good to have some discussion online. And, you know, our views match up so similar. It's always that camaraderie among like-minded people that when you discuss things, that, you know, it sharpens iron, sharpens iron. We encourage each other as we see that day approach. There's so many things we could say about how good and mutual friendships benefit one another. In fact, I think that's one of the critical elements today is to surround yourself with people, you know, that are like-minded. When Abraham, the biblical patriarch Abraham, went to go rescue his nephew Lot, who had been kidnapped, he surrounded himself by 318 men who were trained in the art of war. Now, today I would say, you know, we have to be trained in the art of spiritual war, because we are just seeing absolute evil come across this earth unlike anything we've seen, I would say, since the days of Noah. Just pure, unmitigated evil. Jonathan Cahn just came out with a book, The Return of the Gods. And I think we're seeing that. In fact, about a month or so ago, I was reading The City of God by St. Augustine. And in there, he mentioned the fact that why Christians were so, you know, persecuted was the fact that they had forbid, in fact, they forbid the worship of the old pantheon of gods. And so whenever anything bad happened, you know, the Christians were blamed for it, because you couldn't worship Zeus or Pan or the Baphomet. Well, Baphomet didn't exist back then, but all of it. And so we are seeing a replay of that today with things like COP27, the World Economic Forum. They are really deifying, creating a religion out of this. And you don't have to be religious to understand the impact religion can have on people. It's just a thing when we see people who have strong held religious views. You know, if as a Christian, I believe I should do unto others as, you know, I would want them to do unto me, or, you know, those types of things, that's going to affect how I treat people. But on the other hand, if you are worshiping these pagan deities whose core is perversion, you're going to have the Beyonceaga clothing, showing kids in bondage. You're going to be doing all kinds of horrible things. And that's what we see coming back today. In fact, Jamie Walden, you know, Omega Dynamics, were talking about this today, how the resurgence of the Baphomet. And we saw that it's the Baphomet's origin came in the deity Pan. And, you know, from Pan, you know, I was doing some research the other night, and there's a lot of words that come from that. One is pandemonium and pandemic. And, you know, from the pandemic, we got panic, which is a root word of pan, and pandemonium. So we see the religious nature of what they're pushing on us. And this is all leading, as you've mentioned, from the massive you know, destruction we see of the human race right now because of COVID injections. In fact, I was just reading a football player was in a game, NFL, and he just collapsed right there on the field. Now, I don't know what caused it, but we're just seeing this whole manifestation of this death cult trying to kill as many people as they can kill. Go ahead.
Let me jump in. That happened a few hours ago from the time we're recording. Monday Night Football. A Buffalo Bills player, Damar Hamlin, collapsed and appears to have had a cardiac event. We can only guess what might be causative behind that. We don't know for sure, but it looks like, you know, people are getting red-pilled in real time on Monday Night Football right now about what's going on.
Well, they're being red-pilled everywhere. And the ones that aren't being red-pilled, we're taking our children. And I just can't believe this, that we are taking our children, parents seeing their children being emasculated, being you know, with perversion. Our heritage, our children are being destroyed right in front of our face. And on top of all that, Mike, we are engaging in promoting a war cycle that the world has never seen before. You know,
well, this is what I want us to talk about, actually. Do you want to wrap up a thought there? And then I want to ask you about Russia and China.
Okay, sure. You know, it just, that's the thought I have, is that there's a spiritual, and like I said, you don't have to be religious to understand that people who hold spiritual beliefs will dramatically affect what they do in this world. And so I think we're seeing that play out right now. We saw it play out in the vaccine. We're seeing it play out with our children. And now we're seeing it play out with, you know, different countries and the desire to go to war with these countries and to kill massive amounts of people. So,
yes. All right. Well, thank you for that context and background, because this is a spiritual battle far beyond the kinetic battle that we're facing as well. But let me bring it to the kinetic side of this. Ukrainian forces using HIMARS systems, you know, American provided HIMARS artillery systems, and probably with American, you know, satellite locations and targeting intelligence and human as well, they were able to carry out an attack that killed apparently hundreds of Russian soldiers that were in a barracks on top of an ammunition depot. And of course, rule number one, don't sleep on top of ammo depots in a war zone. Nevertheless, this is the kind of thing that might lead to a very strong escalation, and perhaps that's its intention. But I want to ask you, in your assessment, because you've been watching this kind of space for many years, what do you think is the intention of NATO in carrying out this attack? And what do you think Russia's response will be, if any, to this particular provocation?
Well, it always boils down to money. I personally think the reason we are going to war with Russia, Russia spends 1/15 of their budget on their defense that we do. So their defense budget is nowhere compared to what ours is. They really do not pose a threat to us. Going into the Donbass region, those people are ethnically Russian. They speak Russian. They worship in the Russian Orthodox Church. You know, self-determination is what freedom is all about, in my opinion. And what we're doing is provoking this man into doing something drastic. He had to prevent this. You know, we promised him when Russia fell that we would not extend NATO membership to any of the former Eastern Bloc countries. So at one side of our mouth, we were promising that, and out of the other side of the mouth, we were offering the NATO membership into the former Eastern Bloc countries, Poland being one of them. And so, you know, we need to learn the lessons from World War II. This is precisely what Adolf Hitler did. And you have to remember, in the Russians' collective memory, that is still there, how Adolf Hitler signed a peace treaty, a peace pact with Russia, and at the same time he was moving his troops into Poland, on the whole western front of Russia, and you know, eventually Operation Barbarossa happened, and he invaded Russia, and you know, it cost the lives of 20 to 30 million Russians. This is exactly what we're doing. We are surrounding Russia on the western front with NATO armies, NATO missiles, NATO soldiers, and we don't think that they don't understand this lesson of history. They do. And so it's a provocation of extreme degree. And you know,
but let me ask you, you mentioned the difference in the military budgets between the U.S. and Russia, and that's absolutely true. However, doesn't Russia have far more advanced missiles and hypersonic missiles, the Kinzhal missiles, and also ICBMs with multiple reentry vehicles and evasive maneuvers upon reentry? And, you know, Russia doesn't have much of a navy, but they sure are strong on the missile front, are they not?
Absolutely. And this is the danger of it, because, you know, it's just like, you know, a police officer. If you have a 230-pound, you know, beefy guy police officer, and he's going to arrest somebody, he has a lot of tools he can use before he has to pull his gun out and shoot that person, correct? I mean, yeah. You know, he has a lot of strength, a lot of techniques he can use. So he doesn't have to go from basic verbal commands to lethal force in one step.
Right.
So the same thing's true. What we're seeing here, we are trying. Russia has, you know, they have a lot of high tech weapons that can cause a lot of destruction. Their equipment in between doesn't give them the capability of doing intermediate, you know, escalation of force. And so when they go to the next level of force, they have to go like, say, a 98-pound police officer who's facing, you know, some big guy. He doesn't have the physical capability probably to deal with that. And then he has to go to lethal force immediately. So there's a jump in force, a dramatic jump in force because of the nature of your opponent. And that's what we're facing right now. There's going to have to be a dramatic jump in force because Putin doesn't have the same technology we have as far as ground warfare, but he does have advanced technology, hypersonic torpedoes that could sink a aircraft carrier, hypersonic missiles that could sink, you know, put down a Gerald class Ford aircraft carrier. That would be a provocation the United States government would have to escalate. And that's the whole thing we're seeing right now is escalation after escalation after escalation. In fact, Medvedev said the other day he gave his 10 points of what he sees happening in 2023. Well, the takeaway from that is not the individual 10 points. The takeaway from it is the fact that he is outlining he sees a civil conflict coming and a financial conflict coming. That's what that boils down to.
For the West.
Yes, yes. And the West knows this, so they're having to expand. And I think part of what we're doing in Russia is so rich in timber, uranium, gold, gas, all that. We want to open it up so that multinational corporations can go in there like they've done everywhere on the planet and exploit Russian assets for not the Russian people, but for multinational corporations. You remember we did that in Iran in the 1950s. British oil company wanted British Iranian oil. So we went in there and overthrew the legitimate government of Iran, installed the Shah of Iran, and we know what happened. That worked out so well.
right.
Yeah. And so this is what we're seeing going on. There's always a money, and that's what we're seeing. Two financial systems coming to head, and one of them will become dominant. You have a BRICS system and you have a G20 system, and it, you know, United States is going to do everything in its power to maintain dollar supremacy. And well, it will go.
Let me ask you two things on this, because right now it looks like the BRICS system has the momentum, because we've seen the Saudis naming China as their priority trading partner. We've seen, I don't know, 80, 90, 100 plus nations signing on to systems related to BRICS or new global reserve currency types of systems that may be announced next year. And then at the same time, look at the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. Doesn't that prove to the world that the U.S. military is at the leadership level inept? I don't mean that at the soldier level, but the leadership is inept and incapable of defending America, incapable of really executing a war with a sense of sanity. Again, just the leadership. I'm not criticizing the soldiers.
Absolutely.
But go ahead, yes.
But yeah, well, look at Vietnam, same thing. Look at Iraq, same thing. Look at Libya, same thing. Look at Afghanistan, same thing. I mean, it's a pattern. So, you know, we go into a nation, spend enormous amounts of treasure and, you know, lives, and then we leave it. We left $82 billion to God knows what. That those weapons are going to do, but we know they're not just going to sit there and rust. That's too big a nest egg for somebody not to go after. That's why we talked about maybe Victor Boot. He was released so he could go in there and broker a lot of those deals because he knows all the players that would want those weapons. And to move them in any substantial manner, he has the ability to move them. But somebody like him will move them. Same thing in Ukraine. I think, you know, we're going to eventually Afghanistan, Ukraine, after we've spent enormous treasure. And, you know, we will back out because we're not going to risk nuclear war, at least, you know, willingly risk it. We want to spend money there. We want to launder money. FTX was a, you know, democratic laundering machine. And so, but the unknown element, just like in World War One, you know, Archduke Ferdinand, nobody thought that would lead to the death of 10 to 15 million people, an assassination. It was the unknown, you know, element in that war that just, it swept the whole world into it. Same thing in World War II. World War II should never happen because the Treaty of Versailles so restricted Germany from recovering from the war that they had, it gave rise to Adolf Hitler, and we know how that ended. And right now we're doing the same thing that we did in the Treaty of Versailles to Germany. We're doing it to Russia, giving Vladimir Putin very little option. Day by day, we keep circling him in, putting Patriot missiles in country, which, you know, I think it's just symbolism, because I don't know if the Ukrainians could really use those things. There's a lot of training behind them. And what would they use them for? You know, you're not going to use a $4 million missile to shoot down a $400,000 drone.
why? Well, hey.
Well, they might.
I mean, as long as there's money to be made, they may use it for that. But what about the thermobaric weapons that Russia has? You know, the mushroom cloud-like weapon systems, but of course they're non-radioactive. I know you're familiar with these. I'm just describing them to the audience.
Absolutely. Well, we've used them in the theater of war, and you know, the Russians could. This is the thing, Mike. When the dogs of war are let out, you do not know. History teaches us. You do not know where it is going. Again, the examples, World War One. Nobody had a clue. You know, you would have trench warfare, millions of artillery shells, because the technology was just brand new, you know, high explosive artillery. And nobody knew that the devastation that war was going to cause. And same thing with World War II. Nobody had a clue the devastation that war was going to cause by the time it was over with. And, you know, one step led to the other. I mean, the Japanese horribly miscalculated America's response to it. And it ended up with nuclear weapons going off in their country because they underestimated it. I think we, in our hubris and our ignorance of history, just look at what we've done since Vietnam. We've lost every war we've been in. We've left countries in horrible shambles. We've killed an enormous amount of non-combatant people, collateral damage. And, you know, we've left the place in a mess. Today, ISIS has taken back over Afghanistan. The restrictions on women learning, all the Islamic codes have come back. And so what did we do there? Nothing. We left a lot of lives and a lot of weapons there. That's what we did. And, you know, I'm afraid that's the same thing we're going to do in Ukraine. But, you know, we're not dealing with just an Afghanistan. We're dealing with a superpower that has 7,000 to 8,000 nuclear weapons.
Yeah, this is not something you want to play around with. Now, look, last question for you on Russia, and then I want to move over to China. But on Russia, here we are, early 2023. Do you think that this year, number one, will the war end there? But secondly, will Russia launch a major new offensive against Ukraine sometime this year?
I think Vladimir Putin's survival depends on him launching an offensive. He has to keep this up. And, you know, this is the danger, because we know he has to keep it up. And so we're going to keep provoking and provoking and provoking until something happens, the unknown element happens, which none of us can predict. But an unknown element would happen. We have to keep in mind that when Ukraine fell, there were 5,000 nuclear weapons in Ukraine. I think there were 3,000 tactical and 2,000 strategic nuclear weapons.
You're talking about in 1991?
Yes. There is no chain of custody that I know of for those nuclear weapons of any credible nature. Russia supposedly took them all back, but anybody who would believe that, you know, you're smoking something that you shouldn't be smoking, because, you know, those weapons were too valuable on the black market. The Chinese, maybe, you know, the United States government would have interest in taking them, because if we had one of those nuclear weapons and it ever went off, it would leave a Russian signature with the plutonium or uranium.
That's right. Yeah.
So you could blame them for it. So to think that the chain of custody in those weapons is complete is, I think, very, very naive. And so there's a lot of unknown elements there. You know, United States has been cooking up some of the worst biological stuff we can only imagine. There's rumors that they've been using human experimentation on those bioweapons labs there. And so we just don't know. Something could come, get loose. Something could be detonated. And we would, overnight, tomorrow morning, we would wake up with a whole different problem on our hand. And that's always the nature of war. And they know okay. it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. It's the war black swan.
Yes.
You can't predict it. You can't plan for it because you don't know what it could be. All right. In the interest of time, and also want to give you the courtesy here of asking about your business, readymaderesources.com. How's the night vision industry looking right now, Bob?
Well, you know, we've re-inventoried. In fact, we have a pretty good deal going on right now. You know, if you buy a white phosphor unit, if you buy something like this right now, it's white phosphor. They're rated by figure of merit. So we're upgrading free. Anybody buys a 2400 figure of merit night vision, we're upgrading it to a 2600 FOM figure of merit night vision for absolutely no additional cost. So just mention that, you can go to ReadyMade Resources, see the deal, and if you want to buy it.
Now, what about thermal? What's the best thermal spotting scope or monocular that you currently have?
Well, I use IR Hunter by Trijicon. I really enjoy Trijicon. Now, Trijicon's towards the higher end. Anything really gives you an advantage. So even like a FLIR Scout would be a very good FLIR Breach. You know, that's in the $2,000 price range. But anything that you have that gives you that force multiplication, because for most people, night vision or thermal is going to give you a force multiplication unlike anything else you can afford. Obviously, you can't afford an Apache attack helicopter. But
well, wait a minute. Now, if we go to Afghanistan, we might be able to find one on the cheap.
Yeah, there you go. And the other thing is, radio. It is absolutely, I think night vision and radio are the absolute perfect marriage between technologies because, being able to get local intelligence, hear what's going on in your area, being able to transmit and knowing how to use radio tactically. That's why our friends at Brushbeater, brushbeater.org, really teach some very, very good classes on how to use your radio effectively. But those are two things that we really promote highly. Everybody, everybody knows that you need to get food, you need to get a water filter, some medical supplies. But I think people are afraid of radio for one reason. There's a learning curve to it. And so a lot of people just ignore it. But I think it's really a thing if you ignore, it's good you ignore to your own peril. Because there's a lot of things you can do with radios that yes. we can't talk about.
Okay, well, that's true. But let me tell you, you know what I love about night vision and thermal devices like the kind that you sell? What I love is they don't check in with the cloud. They don't need updates to function. You turn them on, they function. They don't just reboot with a blue screen of death. They're reliable. You fire them up, they work. Now, you can software update some of them if you wish to over time, for more reticles and things like that. But otherwise, it just, you turn it on, it works.
Yeah. And again, what's it worth at night, which, half the day is night. So you're combat ineffective or ineffective for seeing bad guys if you can't, at night. So, but night vision gives you that capability of being able to see out hundreds of yards and effectively deal with it, deal with the problem. So, we know what's coming. I personally think these power outages are state sponsored. I don't think it's Billy Bob with his, pit bulls and AR-15 doing this. I think we're meddling in parts of the world. It's the David and Goliath thing, an asymmetrical warfare. And, I can't believe the government called, they called that incident in Washington that just happened a burglar.
A burglar. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, okay. They know what it is. They've even dropped the Billy Bob route because I think they realize these are nationwide and coordinated attacks. And the two elements really that build America's infrastructure are electricity and communication. Those go down and the world changes immediately.
Let me just add, if that guy's a burglar, then the male prostitute at the Pelosi house is a tourist.
Yeah, well, that's what he was.
Okay. All right. Anyway, readymaderesources.com, folks, if you want to look at night vision and thermal scopes and so on. And definitely a very reliable source there for that. Now, Bob, let's go on to China, because Forward Observer, Mike Shelby, who we're inviting for an interview, put out an update recently talking about his team believes that China may move on, I think, a naval embargo type of posture against Taiwan in a little over 30 days,
yeah,
which seems really aggressive. What are your thoughts on China and Taiwan right now?
Well, you know, I showed you, I've been to China quite a few times. I've been to China, Taipei, you know, Taiwan, and Hong Kong quite a few times. You know, I've done a lot of business there, and I've had dinner with some pretty important people there. Okay. I'm not going to go into too much of it, but you know, we were talking about this one night and over dinner and some Chinese vodka. Don't even ask how good that was. Don't buy it. Never buy it.
Okay.
but anyhow, you know, this person who was, you know, pretty high official said, you know, us meddling in Taiwan, the Chinese look at it as though we are having an affair with their wife. So they really put in a high emotional capital on what we're doing. Okay, that was probably the most sobering statement I heard, because, I mean, you know, we all know what we would do if we came home and somebody was molesting our wife. You know, we would not take it lightly. You know, violence would probably occur. And so, you know, this is how the Chinese look at it. And at the same time, you know, we have in China a microchip plant that produces 60% of the world's microchips, the nanotechnology microchips, that China desperately wants to get a hold of that technology. In Taiwan, they desperately want to get a hold of that technology. And, you know, if a war does happen, I sent you that, just the shipping traffic that goes through the Straits of Taiwan there, you know, that all would be interrupted if you have an amphibious assault coming from the mainland to Taiwan. And there's thousands of ships that go through there. You know, Taiwan only has 30 days of oil. Right. You know, what are they going to do? Pull tankers in there, super tankers? What insurance company is going to allow a super tanker to pull into a war zone so they can offload fuel for Taiwan? That would be a strategic, you know, target. There's no way. And so Taiwan would have a very limited time to be able to fight a battle to keep their planes in the air, their ships and their tanks and all the military hardware that needs fuel to run on. They would have a very short window to do that. And so if that plant that produces those microchips went down for any reason, and I think we destroy it before we'd allow it to fall into Chinese hands, that would knock off 15%. They're saying about 15% off our GDP.
That's unbelievable. That's
huge.
That's equivalent to like a natural disaster on a huge.
Yeah. You know, scale. Amazon and Google going out of business. You know, just disappearing.
Well, and Walmart too. But but what about? Do you think the U.S. Navy has the capability to, or even the willingness to fight that embargo and try to keep some shipping lanes open for Taiwan? In other words. But I mean, that would put the U.S. in direct conflict in a naval battle with China.
And then let's go back to the other thing that happens. And then I think the whole game in Russia changes too, because
exactly.
You know, let's learn from history here, people. You know, when Japan saw that Hitler declared war on the United States after Pearl Harbor, that was the best thing, the best news they had received, because all of a sudden it made U.S. fighting a two-front war.
Right.
And this, we could easily find ourselves in that situation again. This is history. This isn't Bob Griswold making this up. Just get your history book out and read what happened. We found ourselves fighting this multi-front war, which it took us years to equip ourselves to do it. And in this day and age, because of the way supply chains work and the speed of warfare, we don't have years to rebuild a Navy or years to rebuild an Army. We don't have it. And then, you know, recruiting if we had to put troops in Russia and had to send troops to China, we all know the recruiting problems we have right now. The U.S. Army can't meet its own quotas. You know, Americans, the fentanyl, the obesity problems, the psychological problems in this country, we might not have the Army to be able to fight that.
Nor the munitions. What about the munitions? Because we're shipping everything to Ukraine, and it takes years to rebuild the anti-tank weapons and the artillery rounds, especially the guided rounds and so on. I mean, it's like 5 to 10 years out.
But yeah, well, exactly. And I know they've tried to address that, but it is 5 to 10 years out before, you know, we can start making microchips again here. But, you know, we might not have that long. You know, you have to ask yourself the question, why is China building an army that has land capability? So it can go ashore. They're building an amphibious force that can go ashore. They're building a light tank that they could easily be transported. They have a main battle tank that's really a third generation tank, very, very good tank, probably as good as ours, reactive armor, 125mm, smoothbore, computer driven, the whole thing. They have that tank. They have that DF-17 missile, hypersonic missile, I think 7,000 miles an hour. Could we shoot that down? And it's specifically designed to take out a carrier.
But China is lacking in carriers themselves, however. I think a couple of their carriers are old, refurbished Russian ships.
They're currently trying to build 4 modern aircraft carriers right now, and they're supposed to be online by 2035. Now, I don't think there'll be that much time to do it. But also keep in mind, what has China built out in the desert? They have built mock-ups of our aircraft carriers and other ships that they're using for bomb runs.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, why do you do that? It's always intelligence is why. Why are they doing this? What's the purpose? You know, you always want to come to the answer. And that kind of narrows it down a bit for me. I mean, you don't build those kind of things unless you're planning on doing something. And they don't need necessarily a lot of aircraft carriers because they're dealing with Taiwan, which is very close. So not unlike the United States, which would have to project power across the Pacific Ocean. They just project power across the Strait of Taiwan.
Let me throw this into the mix because I talked to some of my people in Taiwan, and they say that, you know, with the recent elections in Taiwan, the KMT, the Kuomintang, has taken over most of the politics, took it away from the DPP. The DPP being more nationalistic and isolationist, the KMT wants to reunify with China. And a lot of the younger generation in Taiwan now, they are pro-unification. Which I don't even, how can you even think that? If you look at Hong Kong, look what happened. All the promises that China made were broken. You know, oh, you're gonna have your own court system. No, you're not. Actually, we're going to arrest you if you don't toe the line. But isn't China, on one hand, looking at Taiwan right now and thinking, hey, if we just stay the course, we're going to get Taiwan to reunify anyway without a war?
Well, the financial motivation's there to reunify. The business wants to open back up because there's a lot of restrictions on Taipei doing business with Beijing. And it would greatly increase their economy if they could start trading with China again. So business has a vested interest to at least, you know, increase those business ties between Beijing and Taipei. And so there's a lot of dynamics. We'll never hear it here in the United States because we only get one flavor, you know, horrible Chinese, good Taiwan. Same thing, you know, horrible horrible Russians, good Ukrainians. It's always the same stuff we receive in this country. But there is a movement in Taipei that wants to at least economically reunite with China. And then once that would happen, you know, if you economically reunited with China, it's a foregone conclusion what is going to happen. But the big thing is that microchip plant. If the Chinese get that, United States would be in a stranglehold. All of our defense missiles and weapons and air carriers and planes and TVs and cars and all that, that's where our chips come from. And we would be absolutely in a dire strait very, very quickly. So we'd have two choices: destroy the plant so the Chinese couldn't get the technology, or let the Chinese get the technology and cut us off.
Well, the poison pill approach, destroying the plant, is, that's devastating because those plants can't be reconstructed overnight. And I understand that even in the U.S., there are efforts underway right now to try to build some of these plants down to the, I think, one nanometer transistor scale. And that tech is very difficult. But those plants, I think, are 5 to 6 years out even right now.
Yeah, so, well, they are. And that's, You remember the whole Pelosi insider trading stock deal.
Right.
When they voted all that money, you know, Paul Pelosi bought a bunch of stock right before they voted on spending all that money to build a plant in the United States. So, they're going to build it, but it's going to take at least 5 years, maybe closer to 8 to 10 years to get it online where it's up to speed in production. That puts pressure on Beijing to act before that, because that is an extreme point of leverage to gain control of that factory.
And, well, it also seems like once Russia launches an offensive against Ukraine, which seems very likely, that shortly after the United States declares war against Russia and enters Western Ukraine with probably Polish troops, for example, then China would have every incentive to say, this is the moment. We strike now while America is facing that two-front war that you mentioned. Even if China doesn't feel like it's fully ready, for example, with aircraft carriers, you go to war with what you have, right? And how could they not see that as a once-in-a-generation, quote, opportunity to hit America when America is vulnerable?
And precisely, and let's not stop there. Pakistan, India, because Pakistan would side with China, Russia. India, probably the United States. Iran, Saudi Arabia, Israel, the Koreas, you could easily see this escalate way out of control.
Involving Japan and Australia as well. Japan has got some tech that hasn't been made public too.
Yes.
To fight
the animosity between the Chinese and Japanese. I've been in Nanjing, where you've read the book, The Rape of Nanjing.
Yeah.
And, I just on the street, just talking with people, and a lot of people there do speak English. Just asking them about, what their feelings were concerning that. They still hate the Japanese. The Japanese never apologized, according to them. And so there's still a lot of animosity between those two countries.
Well, Poland is still suing Germany for reparations from World War II, come to think of it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's been a lot of human suffering.
Our reaction was the most illogical reaction when Putin went into Ukraine. It's almost like we cut our own hand off to spite ourselves. We're not going to buy your oil anymore. And what happened? We're not going to buy your products anymore. What happened? It wasn't the smartest move in the world. We cut our own production off, and then we cut Russian production off. And the only people it really hurt were people in the United States. Well, the same thing could happen very, very quickly with that microchip plant. We could find ourselves in a real world of hurt very quickly if we did something stupid. I personally wonder if, the Biden administration would respond to it. I don't know. I just don't know.
See, that's the other question. Is there any willingness in this administration, which I believe is compromised by China, but also our Pentagon leadership, which, look at Darth Vader himself there at the head of the Pentagon, former weapons contractor guy. His interests are clear. He just wants to sell more weapons. Seems like nobody actually wants peace for the people of Earth, just to leave people alone, let people have farms and families.
Yeah, that goes back to the spiritual nature. We're doing the death cult. The angel of death is flying over this world right now, and it doesn't look well. I just wake up every morning, Mike, and just wonder, today is today the day? Because this world is in the worst situation, I think, and probably that I can remember historically. Not only do we have a what we consider a low-level civil war going on in the United States right now, where we have two factions that absolutely irreconcilable. I can't reconcile with people who want to, emasculate children, who want to destroy the Constitution, who want to destroy our history, who want to open our borders so that fentanyl and sex traffickers can come across. I can't reconcile with those people. I'm in a philosophical war with them right now, and they're in a philosophical war with us right now. And so we have this internal conflict in the country to begin with. We have saboteurs running around, you know, testing our infrastructure, and then we're already in a one-front war right now. And then, you know, we get into a two-front war, and then possibly, you know, a lot of other conflicts start, and we could find ourselves in a very, very dangerous position where you could have a large multi-millions of people killed very quickly. So,
well, I think your assessment is correct, and we are in a treacherous waters right now, and anything could be triggered here that could involve us in not just a global war, but a global supply chain collapse. Because,
well, again, look, did you see that map I sent you of the Straits of Taiwan, the shipping traffic?
Yeah.
That shipping traffic would not go through there during a war. If Beijing were moving troops across there, that shipping traffic would stop. Just imagine the catastrophic nature that would have throughout the entire world if, you know, Beijing, which makes so much of the stuff the world uses, that stopped. And again, you know, Taipei only has 30 days worth of oil. This is the time for sober people to make sober decisions. If you want to continue being entertained, and, you know, I always love that quote, where entertainment increases, civilization decreases. If you want to be that person who's just entertained and entertained and entertained and not take this very seriously, you could find yourself in a very bad situation. You know, I think those that are smart are really positioning themselves right now with, you know, learning skills, learning the radio, learning the art of defense. You know, I told you my wife just passed her fourth Dan black belt. You know, I mean, you know, fourth degree black belt. Awesome. I'm very proud of her. Or you're learning radio, or you're learning gardening, or you're learning numerous other skills, auto mechanics, how to build things, you know, how to fix things. If you're doing that right now, you're positioning yourself for when this collapse and these wars happen, that you have a much better chance of survival. If you've stored some food, maybe some water, obviously water filtration is key. If you're doing those things right now, you're going to be in a very good position. If you're surrounding yourself with good men and women, you know, of good report who are on the same mindset as you, that you want to prepare and get things ready and you want to be multi-trained, you know, you might not be the best medic in the world, but you know how to stop, you know, blood flow. You know how to do basic medic.
Yeah.
Because you've taken a course. You might not be the best radio operator in the world, but you know how to use a radio for different things, triangulation, signal finding, signal jamming.
Well, and when we interviewed Jamie Walden, you know, he talked about the faith havens, and we got a huge response from people about that concept. And so we're going to have Jamie back on about that, because people want to seek out like-minded individuals who they can rely on during these times.
And so we are seeing a huge demographic movement in this country right now. Tennessee, the state I'm in, is having a huge influx of people getting out of blue states. They want to come here because Tennessee is a very good state. I really love the state. And we're a very free state. And so people are fleeing those states and they're coming and they realize, you know, people that have never homesteaded before are buying 10, 20 acres and learning how to homestead. So we do see this happening. There is some glimmer of hope, but you know, for the major of city dwellers and those types of people who just want seeking entertainment, it's going to be a very bleak day for them. You know, dark days ahead for those people.
Okay. Well, I think you've summarized it nicely. Doom if you're unprepared, but also if you are informed and well-prepared, we can navigate through this. And that's been my message too, this whole time, kind of an optimistic message, but realistic. It's like, it doesn't have to be doom and gloom for us.
No, I mean, it'll be hard. And, you know, hard times make strong men. That's what they say. You know, good times make weak men. That's what we're seeing happening right now, weak men. Yeah. But as we enter those hard times, those men who have that in them, the men and women that have that nature in them, will become stronger. and because it'll refine us. You know, I do some metallurgy, and when I'm smelting something, there's always that stuff you have to scoop off the top, the slag, because it's impurities in the metal when you're melting it. And that's what'll happen in hard times. That dross, slag, whatever you want to call it, it comes to the top and you know, it's taken out and it refines. And so I think there'll be a great refining of those people who want to do the right thing and are preparing to do that by, you know, learning different skills and storing and just their associations. I think that's what's going to happen. So, you know, we are going to see some very, very difficult times though.
Okay. Well, we'll wrap it up there, Bob. I want to thank you for taking the time to share your thoughts with us. I think your analysis is excellent. I want to give out your website again, readymaderesources.com for night vision and thermal vision, another kind of survival hardware supplies as well. Anything else you want to add, Bob?
That's it. You know, if anybody wants to call me, they can call me at 800-627-3809. I do help people do retreat planning. I mean, you know, because it does vary the age of people in the retreat, the geographic location, the political atmosphere of the area. And then always the budget, what size is your budget? So I can help direct you so you don't spend money uselessly or, you know, wastefully on things that you don't need or that won't work for you in your particular application.
Well, that's great to know. Can you give out that number one more time?
800-627-3809.
Okay. Yeah. And if any of you listening are brand new to this and you're moving out of the city and about to move into a rural area to homestead or what have you, get good information from people like Bob Griswold here, because it'll save you 10 years of mistakes.
And a lot of money.
Yeah, true. A lot of money too. I mean, there are things if I could go back 10 years, I would have done very differently from, you know, you learn it the hard way. You learn through experience, but sometimes you don't have time for that.
Yes.
So, okay.
But anyhow, thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Mike. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. It's an honor, Bob. Have a great evening. Thank you for joining me. And for those of you watching, as always, feel free to repost this interview on your own channels or other platforms. You have our permission. So thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. Take care.
A global reset is coming. And that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.